Hi everyone, so I'm Abhishek, and I thought that I'll just kick things off. I know Paul has already done this, but let me kick things off by just telling you guys a bit about myself. So I graduated last year from this amazing program at NYU, which is called ITP, the Interactive Telecommunications Program, and it's there where I got to build a lot of crazy things. So I built the shoe that you could basically control and customize using your phone, and it would give you Twitter and Facebook notifications via your feed. I built this interactive installation that went up in Times Square on the 40-foot billboards on either side of the Lion King theater, where people could message in their outrages and then see what was happening from there. I also built this virtual reality dragon. So this is this 20-foot large dragon that people could actually sit on and ride, plug into a VR headset, and then be able to control the VR dragon by manipulating this physical dragon. And I also built this little desktop assistant, this robotic voice-activated desktop assistant, which I named Pico, except he would respond entirely through GIFs. And yet, I find myself here speaking to you guys about AR. So how exactly did that happen? Well, that's what I'm going to tell you now. So everybody is familiar with this, right? I mean, it's this iconic game that all of us, even though this game was probably created before most of us here were born, still kind of recognize and probably grew up playing. Well, I took this game and I rebuilt it in AR for the HoloLens. As a first-person life-size experience in which you actually step into the shoes of Mario to complete the level. So today's talk will be about how I did that, right? And along the way, I'll also kind of tell you about my thought processes, a few challenges that I faced along the way, and some kind of design consideration and technical hacks that I do use. So where did this all begin? It began, obviously, with the HoloLens. And the HoloLens is this kind of like magical, amazing device, which I could never get my hands on, except that I happened to be at a university that had it. And that's the great thing about universities, right, is that you get access to equipment that you'd otherwise never be afforded to pay for. Although counterintuitively, you're affording to pay for university, so I'm not sure how that kind of works. So anyway, I got access to the HoloLens, I kind of put it on, and I was immediately like amazed. Like, it was actually like magic was happening in front of my eyes, and I knew I had to build something out of it. And immediately I was like, what do I build? So how did it reach Mario? It didn't reach Mario immediately. It started off actually with a simple white cube, and this is how the entire kind of idea of playing Mario happened. And I'll tell you how I got to that white cube. So as soon as I had the HoloLens, what I knew that I wanted to do was I wanted to create a large, expansive outdoor experience. Like, that's what I knew. I wanted to create some sort of maybe runner game in the streets of New York, something which is outside what the HoloLens is actually meant to be. Like, the HoloLens literally says it's meant for indoor use, right? And it's focused primarily on the enterprise, perhaps rightly so. But I wanted to use it for something which maybe it's not been used for before. So I wanted to create this kind of game. While I was learning HoloLens development using the tutorials that were available on Microsoft, I literally took a white cube and I placed it into the scene. Except I moved that white cube and placed it slightly above my head. And for some reason, I stepped under that cube and I jumped. And as soon as I jumped, all these memories from my childhood came flashing back, and I was like, oh my god, this is Mario. And that white cube is a brick that I'm meant to break. Once that kind of came into my mind, that kind of the spark was created, the next step was to begin was with research. And what research involved was looking at this video again and again on an infinite loop till every game mechanic and every interaction was kind of ingrained in my mind. It also involved trying to figure out how to play Super Mario, so that I just kind of got a sense of what it was. It had obviously been quite a few years since I'd done that. Once the research was done, the next step was actually like designing the assets. And now I kind of thought that, okay, Super Mario has been there for 30 years. The internet has been there for a long time as well. People have definitely created these 3D assets and put them out there for free that I would simply kind of download and integrate into my game. Right? And there were a bunch of 3D assets, they're kind of repeating, but you would obviously be able to, I would obviously find these with no difficulty. Finding the sounds to include was not difficult. But then I came across this, and they were asking me to pay $5, right? I know it says $375, but at that time there was no sale. And for some reason, at least at that point of time, it made more sense to me that instead of spending $5, I should instead spend 1 week building all the assets out myself. So I picked Autodesk Fusion 360 as the modeling tool of my choice and started modeling. Except that's where the first thing came out, is that we are always used to seeing these assets like this, right? As a 2D thing. I had to kind of reimagine them to be in 3D. I don't even know. I mean, we have never seen what the underside of that brick looks like. So what does the underside of that brick look like? So that's where I could kind of take some creative licenses. And I decided that's what the underside of the brick looks like. And then I went on to model the other assets. Over here you can see like the Goomba, which is now obviously like extruded into the, a 3D, but still kind of paying homage to like this 8-bit pixel kind of look that it had. Even though for the an embarrassingly long amount of time, my sister and I used to call that Bad Mushroom. And then the Koopa Troopas, which we used to call Bad Turtle. So once all the assets were kind of created and modeled, I ported them into Unity. And Unity is a game engine that allows you to develop these experiences for the HoloLens. And inside Unity, just to give you like a quick kind of overview, what it allows you to do is you include objects or assets into the scene, and you can attach behaviors or interactions or animations to those assets by attaching scripts to them. So the next step, once I had all these assets imported into Unity, was actually building out the entire level. So I took it piece by piece, went back to the 2D representations of them, and built the entire level out. At the same time included all the game mechanics that had to be included. And at this time it was kind of, it was a challenging, but it was also a very like insightful experience in the terms of, I was so inspired to think that how did these people manage to do this 30 years ago? You know, how did they manage to do it without Google and without Stack Overflow and without all these amazing engines that now we have to play with? But obviously it was just not about recreating the game mechanics, it was about rethinking the game mechanics from a point of view of a first-person experience. So what Mario tends to have a bunch of advantages over me. I mean, other than the fact that he's worth billions of dollars, it also is that he can defy the laws of physics, something which I'm still trying to figure out. As one example, he can jump twice his height, right? And that's something that I cannot do. But I still wanted to maintain the aesthetic and the proportions of the original level while still allowing people to jump and be able to break the bricks or gain the power-ups. So to figure my way around that, what I did instead was I attached a collider to the camera and I offset the colliders for all the assets on the bricks. So essentially by jumping just a small amount, well, a human capable amount, you were still able to interact and destroy the bricks. And you can see that in this slide here is that I was successfully able to jump and destroy the bricks. Obviously the hand was for added theatrical effect. It wasn't really doing anything, it was actually where my head was hitting. Another thing which Mario has done, which I haven't figured out yet, is how to spontaneously grow twice my size on consuming a mushroom. So the way around this, and it, in retrospect it seems kind of obvious, but at that point of time it wasn't, was that instead of me growing, let me shrink everything around me. So give people the illusion that the world you are growing by shrinking the world around them. Another thing is that when Mario gains a power-up, when he gets a flower, he gets a mushroom, he changes costume, like he changes color, and you have these kind of bright blinking effects. Well, obviously, stripping down and changing in the middle of Central Park wasn't an option. So instead of that, I decided that when he gets a power-up, you kind of overlay it with the same aesthetic to kind of communicate to the user that, yes, you got the power-up, and now you have an added ability. One more thing is that, obviously, in Mario, it's a 2D side-scroller. Mario can jump on pipes. He can't go around them, and he can actually physically land on them. But that's not the case in the case of a hologram. How do I actually land on a pipe? Well, in that case, I kind of took the easy way around and I decided that I'll just walk around the pipes. Well, these are kind of programmatic, what I like to call programmatic illusions. But in addition to that, there were also like a number of hacks, right? Hacks to kind of get it working, kind of mold the HoloLens to work in this large kind of environment where it's not properly meant to be used and to kind of create the experience that I wanted to create. So one of the things I realized kind of early on was I am of a particular height. If I was to give this a game to someone else who's of a different height, How would they be able to interact with it? What if they're shorter than me? Would they be able to jump and reach the bricks? What if they're taller than me? Would they just collide with the bricks without having to jump? So the first thing that I did was I integrated a height calibrator of sorts. So when you start off the game, what you'll do first is you'll enter your height. And that would calibrate the entire level to your particular height so that the bricks are within reachable distance, but they're still required to jump. I also had to like scout around, which is not the easiest thing in New York, to find like a really large open expanse where I could play this entire game and not get hit or run over by a car. So eventually I picked this the mall area in Central Park, and it also served the added benefit that it has this canopy of trees around it, and that canopy of trees kind of helps reduce the harshness of environmental light, which can play a lot of which can create a lot of problems when rendering out holograms. The next thing after that was, the mistake I made actually at this point of time is I left testing on the actual site that I was going to play on for really late into the game. So eventually, by the time I got the final capture, I was able to get everything working. I had to make 4 trips to Central Park at 6 in the morning on 4 different days. So I had some people there who were recognizing me as a Mario who would randomly show up in the middle of the morning jumping around Central Park, looking at something which only I apparently could see. So the step after that was I got a capture, but they had this kind of transparent kind of look to it, and it was for some technical reasons, and also because the in HoloLens capture of the video of the feed was actually adding some level of transparency, and I wanted to find a way around that. I wanted to make the holograms seem like they're actually in the world and kind of add an opaqueness to them. So I wrote my own custom script that would allow me to increase the opacity of the holograms while they were being captured from the feed within the HoloLens itself. And what you see within the frame is what the user can kind of see. So everything outside the frame is what the HoloLens does capture, but the field of view of the user is slightly smaller. But then again, like a lot of naysayers, a lot of critics are like, oh, the field of view is so pathetic on the HoloLens or something like that. But the HoloLens is such an amazing device, right? And I'm excited not only by what it can do currently, but the possibilities and the potential it kind of holds. The other thing that you have in Mario is you have these certain segments which are pits that you have to jump over, right? And I wanted to recreate these pits. The HoloLens essentially looks at full black as transparent. It renders it out completely as transparent. But as they say, like every action has a reaction and every fix has, I guess, its own break. So by fixing the video feed to capture at full opacity, the resulting effect was that it was now capturing my pits with these black boxes around them. So it was no longer this void that was now embedded into the floor. It was now this black box that was suddenly in the middle of it. So to get around this, I had to start playing with shaders. And I took 2 approaches, one of which worked much better than the other. But the first approach was everything that you see in black on this pit or this void, I converted it into a material that would be transparent to the camera, but opaque to everything right behind it. So essentially what it did was it had kind of a masking effect that I could not, the camera could look through it and see objects behind it, but only when I would move over it could I see this void in front of it. That worked, but the only problem that was that it was computationally probably too intensive and it was creating a lot of jitter. So the other technique that I used was something called the stencil buffer, which you can kind of think as a mask or a window that I overlaid on top of this void. And only when you look through that mask can you see anything within it. And this was the final effect that came out as a result of that, is that you have this pit right on the floor that you can now step up to and look down, and it kind of gives this impression, and you can also see like mushroom kind of like fall into it. So when I first kind of did this test, I created this entire level, right? This entire level is now human size, and it was 110 meters long. So it was this huge, gigantic level, which is also why I needed that large space in Central Park. And I took this level, and I was like, oh, this is done. I'm just going to go in Central Park, place it there, and everything's going to work. Of course, everything did not work. The main problem that happened was because the level was so large, you can kind of think of it that it had only a single pivot point. So if you kind of look at my elbow or my arm right now, my pivot point is at my elbow, everything that is further away from my elbow moves more as my arm moves. So what was happening was there's a tremendous amount of drift that was being created in this entire level. As I moved deeper into the level, the drift would increase and things would either move to the left or the right, up or down, and I needed it obviously to be level to be able to interact with it, because if it's embedded into the earth, I can't really do much about it. So what I did was I took this level and I split it into 23 chunks, right? I split it into precisely 23 chunks, which are, each of them was about 6 meters wide. What you can see here are the different sections, these different sections. But it was not only about splitting it into 23 sections, but it was also about adding an anchor in the center of each of these sections. And each of those anchors would kind of work independently of each other and help to kind of anchor this entire level into space. So how that kind of worked is I would go in and I would first release the first cube, right? You see these kind of cubes. I would place this cube on the floor, which would tell me where the ground level is. And on another input, it would layer every cube, a subsequent cube, edge to edge after that. And each cube, the green cube and the orange cube mark the start and end of a particular section. So at the start of the game, it would create these sections right where those cubes were kind of placed on ground level. And that really helped get rid of any kind of drift. And this, it's still a fairly large expanse, and the HoloLens did have some trouble kind of mapping it, but still the fact that it was able to do it was really impressive to me. And once that all that was done, like the next step was basically stepping into Mario's shoes. And it was not only stepping into Mario's shoes, I wanted to step into Mario's costume, right? Because if I'm playing it as Mario, I should look like Mario. So in that case, I managed to find like a red t-shirt that kind of matched. I bought gloves and this overalls off Amazon, and I built, I actually made the yellow gigantic buttons out of wood, which I then obviously threw away. And it wasn't just about kind of playing this experience, because another thing is that with holograms it's difficult to interact. You can't really feel, there's no like haptic feedback, right? But you still want to give some kind of feedback to the users, which in the case of Mario worked well, because every action has an associated sound with it. So this has a little bit of sound. As you can see, every sound has it. But another important thing is like not only what you could do in Mario, but what you couldn't do in Mario. And one thing I couldn't do in Mario is see what was inside the castle. So now that I was building it myself, I was like, okay, now I can figure out what actually happened inside the castle. So you actually, at the end of the game, not only get to bring the flag down, but you actually get to enter the castle and kind of look around into what actually existed there. And kind of doing this in Central Park, I knew it had some potential, right? It had some potential to be picked up by press. I knew it had some like viral characteristics to it. And I could kind of imagine the headline. The headline tomorrow would be like, crazy dude in Central Park seen jumping around in Mario costume. But instead I kind of came across this, is that a man played a super AR and no one thought it was weird. And then I kind of figured, well, it is New York and people have seen way weirder stuff than me jumping around Central Park at 6 in the morning. But it's not kind of exactly true, because almost everybody did give me at least one curious glance to be like, I don't know what you're doing and I don't know why you're here, but all right. After that, after I've kind of filmed this video and I filmed it from two points of view, one was obviously with the in-app view, which is a 3D first-person view, and the other one was a side view, because I wanted to kind of map it to what we're used to see Mario as this 2D kind of side-scroller, and then just overlaid it and published it to YouTube. And it kind of just took a life of its own since then. It's got over a million views on YouTube, over 10 million views now across social media channels. And I put out a tweet to HoloLens, which then eventually got several thousand views, and I kind of went to sleep at night and woke up in the morning and I was wondering why my inbox was flooding, because I didn't expect it to go kind of go as big as it kind of did. And at the end of it, it was covered by almost all major publications across, from gaming blogs to tech blogs and all that kind of thing. So to that extent, it kind of achieved what I set out to achieve. But I didn't set out to achieve it to gain press. What I set out to achieve was actually to start a conversation and to get people excited and to get people to start envisioning the possibilities of this device and of this technology, right? Because, and just kind of like taking it from there, I was so enamored by the HoloLens, and I wanted other people to also kind of like feel the same. And I didn't want people to kind of live within this box of what kind of exists and what is kind of possible with it, but kind of think outside of that. Because kind of just imagine, a true consumer headset, a true consumer headset of this size, I still believe, is 5 or 10 years away at this point of time. The HoloLens is a magical device, but ultimately is a device that I use only to be able to communicate an idea or a vision. A true headset is still probably 5 or 10 years away. But when that does happen, right? Imagine putting that on, and imagine just being able to have artificially intelligent digital objects interacting with physical objects. Like the world basically becomes your playground, right? Every trip kind of becomes an experience. And isn't that the kind of world we kind of want to live in? Because if it is, then at least I think that we should start working on it from now. And that is it. So thank you.